Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And joining me in this segment is State Representative Scott Diana from Calumet. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on, Rick. I appreciate being here. And hello to everybody out in the listening area.
That's an exciting time to come back home. The girls did pretty good up there in Calumet, didn't they?
They did wonderful. We're so very proud of them for being able to come all the way down from the Copper Country to go to Lower Michigan, travel all that way down, and just perform the way they did. We're so very proud of them. They're putting us back on the map again in hockey and basketball. We're known all over this state for our sports teams. We're so proud of those girls, those young ladies that are being able to do that.
First time in school history that they've won the Class C state championship, and they didn't come home alone. Sault Ste. Marie did pretty well while they were down there.
That's right. The power of the UP is very special up here, and our kids are just very much on tune with doing the right stuff, and that shows in all of our sports.
Scott, I wanted to ask you on the program, because coming up on May 5th, there's going to be a ballot proposal put before the voters to approve among other things, a sales tax increase from 6% to 7%. I wanted to take part of this segment to go in depth with that, so that our listeners are familiar with what they will be voting on, if it is approved, what that money will go to, and also just your take on your opinion, really, on whether or not we should be supporting something like this. So let me talk a little bit about the proposal itself. You let me know if I got it right, because I got a little bit of a breakdown on some figures that I've been researching. And overall, the goal here is to raise about $2 million annually. A large portion of that will come from the sales tax increase from 6% to 7%, about $1.4 billion. There will also be some changes in the way gasoline is taxed that is estimated to bring in a little more than $400 million. There's going to be some increased registration fees for certain types of commercial trucks. I think it's a sliding scale on weight. That's estimated about $50 million. And then a phasing out of discounts for a new vehicle. It's going to start off small. It's only going to be about $10 million to begin with. It could be as much as $150 million once all the discounts are gone. Now, if they are successful, all these things happen the way it's planned. The money, again, on my figures here, is to spend on maintenance for the road, repaying road bonds that are already borrowed for infrastructure, spending on transit and recreational grants, some money going to public schools, some money going to local governments, and an increase in the earned income tax credit of about $260 million. Close to the mark
there. Yes, you're correct on that, Rick. And what I want to say, too, about the Prop 1 is what I try to let everybody know on is the fact that what we're reporting on here today, it is the facts, because, unfortunately, I cannot just give you an opinion either way on this. Any ballot proposal, us as the elected officials always make sure that the facts are out there, and I appreciate you putting this out. Because people just got to understand what the ballot language is about. And it is very confusing a lot of times when we start sorting through what tax money goes to where and how it all comes to play. I wanted to make sure that people understand too that when this came up in the House to be able to put this out on the ballot, I voted against it. There was a handful of us that, you know, we felt that it was our duty to be able to do this in the House of Representatives and in the Senate to be able to take care of this problem. So I was not for being able to put this on the ballot. I felt that people elected us to do a job, and that was part of it. So let's talk about those facts. I mean, this is a ballot proposal that's very important to be able to look at where we're going with our road system. And what Proposal 1 would do, what it would basically eliminate the sales tax on the gasoline. So it would replace it with a wholesale tax. Most people don't realize that the state tax, the sales tax on the gasoline, goes for our schools and your local government. So what this would do would change that, where all of the money collected would go for the road system. So by doing that, this would create a fix in how we collect the taxes, and it's how it is spent. The big thing that Prop 1 would also do, besides raising the sales tax by 1%, that 1% money would go for the schools. And that's how we would have the backfill on it, because right now it's about $800 million plus that goes off of the sales tax at the pump to our schools. So that's the backfilling that's getting done with this. And also, part of this, with an earned income tax credit, this would also go out there for our lower income families to be able to get a tax credit like they had in the past. So as I supported a earned income tax credit on a separate vote, I felt that, again, it was more in our better interest to put together a package that I felt was strictly for the roads to take care of that issue. So I think that a lot of people are going to have to seriously consider what the language is going to be and how it's going to affect them. And I think that one of the things that people got to understand also about this ballot initiative is that out of the first funding source that's coming the first year, $800 million out of that money is going to go to pay the debt that we acquired by all these other road projects back in the 90s. So I think that people really got to understand, too, that if they do support the ballot initiative, that we're not in 6 months going to have all these roads fixed, because the bulk of the money has to go to pay down on the debt load. And that's the problem that I really see with a lot of that. And I just want to encourage everybody also that we are going to have the League of Women Voters are going to be Tuesday, April 28th at 7 p.m. at the Houghton High School. And they're going to do also a presentation on all of the proposal and how it looks.
That's a good time to ask questions, because I have a lot of questions, but I don't think of all of them.
Right.
Now, you talked about the money borrowed in order to do all these road projects. Mm-hmm. You know, we live up here. We're seeing a bridge get redone. Hancock streets are being redone. They just had M26 that was redone. It looks like a lot of bridge and road maintenance is happening already without this proposal.
Correct. That is happening, because that's scheduled things that have been on the books. A lot of these programs have been out there for 5-6 years that they planned on doing these things. So that's what we're seeing right now. This is the general maintenance and scheduled projects that they were going to do. And I guess I want people to understand also what I've been saying for the last 2 years also is just, we really got to take a look at Michigan on our road system of what we're spending. We're spending right now currently $3.6 billion. And that goes for a lot of different things in the Department of Transportation. And part of that, you know, is the bulk of the money that is supposed to be put on road service and the maintenance. But there are a lot of things that we have out there that we look at, the funding of the airports. So that $3.6 billion is a big dollar amount, but actually how much is really going on all the road systems in Michigan? And that's always been my point. I mean, we really got to look at how we're spending the money and where it's going all the time. I think that's one of our biggest jobs we have as the elected officials, is that accountability and that transparency. Because we've had a lot of issues in Lansing this last month and a half that we've been getting reports from the Auditor General that, you know, the follow-up on the warranty work hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. And that's been a dollar amount that we were kind of pretty much shocked about. The other thing that came out with the warranty, well, actually, I want to say this, with another Auditor General report, it was train cars that were being leased to the state, and we didn't even have a track to put them on. So that was about $9 million. So these are the things that not just concerned me, it concerned all of us on the Transportation Committee, and it really concerned appropriations.
And the rail cars, that was for the Detroit to the west side of the state rail line.
Yes, that is correct.
That got the kibosh.
That it did. And, you know, there was part of it was with the federal level that was involved with the federal level with the Transportation Commission there. But, you know, it all plays down to it's our tax money, and we got to use it so very wisely, because there's not a lot of it. And the cost of doing projects keeps going up. We've seen that here in Hancock, Houghton with the lift bridge. You know, that went from a $6 million project to $8 million project. So, I mean, these things take on more cost when we start looking at them as the time goes on.
Now, the changes to how the gasoline is taxed, the layman's question is going to be, am I going to be paying more per gallon because of this than I am now? And the answer, yes. You're nodding your head, so yes.
Yes, I am, Rick, yes.
How do we know if this gets passed? Because unlike an income tax or a different type of business tax, sales tax is something we all are going to notice. Every time you buy your groceries, you fill up your gas tank, you buy a candy bar, you're going to notice a change in how much you're paying. Are we going to be able to notice the change in how the roads are maintained, and can we make sure that the money is going there?
Well, I think that that's the billion-dollar question a lot of folks out there are asking, and that's front and center as the first discussion. One of the things that we will notice immediately is the sales tax on big purchases. When we start to go out and look at a vehicle, you're going to start seeing a pretty good amount of change from going from 6% to 7%. So I think that, you know, a lot of folks out there are very concerned about how it's going to affect our economy also, because, you know, with some small business and that, it is an incurred cost to the consumer. And, you know, we got to look at our buying power.
If the public will, I think, will absorb this if it gets approved, as long as in 5 years from now, somebody's not asking for money for the roads and we're driving on good roads. The legislature turns over and then a few years from now they say, well, we don't have any money to fix these roads, we're going to say, well, why are we paying the amount of money? Why was this approved?
Well, and I guess that's what I get a lot of places when I go around the seven counties. I got a lot of people asking me that question. We're spending $3.6 billion right now and they're in this condition. So if we give another $1.2 billion a year, are we going to see a lot more repair and a lot more things done? So that's always, like I say, the billion-dollar question here.
With part of this money heading towards transit, what effect will that have on the roads?
Well, I think that what's going to happen, too, and I do support the transit system. We have something up here that's very special and unique in all of our counties. We have the transit system and helps a lot of folks. And what that does is it gets more people to on the transit line, and it takes more pressure off some of the roads. And it makes more of an impact in lower Michigan with a lot of these metropolitan areas. And I think that it would help with a lot of the traffic and the congestion and the loss of time and service that we got for moving goods and services around the state. So there will be an impact by supporting that. But we just want to make sure that ultimately, the end of the day, whatever happens with the proposal, if it goes through, that the UP, we get our fair share, that we want to make sure that up in these seven counties, that we definitely make sure that our projects are there funded and our transit's funded, and we're making sure that we're on point with it.
The advertisement that is out trying to promote Proposal 1 right now, can't really characterize it anything else other than a bit of a scare tactic. If this doesn't get approved, that there is no way to fix the roads going forward, that there is no plan B. Does that hold water? Is that true?
Well, I tell you what, I disagree with that, because there's always a plan B, and you got people like myself and a lot of my colleagues in the House that are saying, yes, there can be a plan B, but it's going to have to be with the restructuring of the Department of Transportation. It's going to have to be taking a look at the funding formula of putting more money to the counties and the locals, and probably some shared services with partnerships out there. And I think that there is a plan B, and part of the, I have a bill package that I'm working on, and that's going to be part of it, because we do have to have a plan B. And if it does go down, we have to be responsible and do our due diligence. And if that takes us to be down there every day until it's fixed, it got to be done. So I'm not planning anything on May 6th. I'm going to definitely be there to take a look at where we're going to have to go with it, because it may be a long, hot summer in Lansing, but we're prepared to be there and take care of it.
May 5th, voters are going to have their chance to say on Proposal 1, which is primarily a sales tax increase. You will see some increase in the amount of money that you're paying per gallon at the gas tank. Of course, you're going to see it every time you buy anything that's got a sales tax applied to it. So that decision is there for you. I'll post this information up on KeenanReport.com that I read earlier, so that you have a little bit of an education when you go. Scott, I want to thank you for that topic, because this is one of those ballot proposals that affects every resident in our state, and we need to be ready and know which way we want to go.
Right. Well, I appreciate you having me on with this issue, Rick, because it's so very important to everybody in Michigan. And, you know, when it comes to ballot proposals and elections, you know, sometimes the worst part is we just don't get the participation out there. So I'm really hoping that people do come out and exercise their right to make that decision, because it's going to affect everybody for years to come. So we need to have good participation out there, Rick. So that's to all our listeners.
All right, let's talk about some of the other things that you've had going on in Lansing there. You've had a number of proposals. I'll let you go ahead and pick your one and tell us about it.
Sure, appreciate that. I have House Bill 4368, which is a MDOT property auction bill that I have, because what happens now is they retain their equipment for about 12 years on a lot of this snow removal equipment. And what happens after they're done with it, it goes on to a bid site called MLive. And when it's being put on that website to be able to put it out for distribution, this bill would be able to give the counties the locals the first shot at bidding on that, because we got a lot of this equipment that's been very well maintained by the state of Michigan. It was purchased with Act 51 money, and I definitely would like to see that the counties would be able to bid on it first before it goes out for a general contractor, because a lot of times then, you know, some of this stuff gets purchased quickly by a lot of outside of the state companies, and they sell it back to our road commission. So to be able to have them have the upper hand and be able to have a little bit of time to get together with their local board meeting and say, hey, we may be able to put a bid on a snowplow truck that we could have in the county that was already in the at the county on the trunk lines, you know, I think that would help them a lot. So we're really wanting to get that done, and I had very good support on this the last session. It came out of the House of Representatives. All 110 voted in favor of this. We just didn't have the time to get it done in the Senate in the lame duck session. So Ari was visiting with our appropriations chair, and they're going to bring it up pretty quickly so we get this done before winter comes.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I've sat in a number of council meetings and board meetings, and places like the cities of Houghton and Hancock and Houghton County, we don't buy a lot of brand new equipment for our roads. We just don't have that kind of money. And they are often searching for the best deal they can get, and this would definitely help them.
Right, and that's what it comes down to, is just making sure that we help the locals and the counties and make sure that a lot of this stuff that was purchased with Act 51 money goes back to helping our residents that paid the tab for it. Also, what I've been working on, too, that we just got the House bill back, was 4074, and this was the elimination of inventory thresholds for bars to sell gasoline. This kind of goes what we're trying to work on with a lot of tourism issues up here. You know, in all of these seven colonies, we got a lot of things we're trying to promote, and tourism is one of them. Whether it's side-by-sides or snowmobiles or just having people come up that want to go mountain biking or kayaking, we're open for all business up here when it comes to tourism. But the gasoline, whether you're fueling up your vehicle to get your kayak to a certain point of our wonderful lake, or to be able to go snowmobiling, they need gasoline. So what we are working on with this bill is to eliminate the $10,000 inventory of non-liquor inventory enabled to sell gasoline. So we're trying to get more of the smaller businesses to be able to have these above-ground tanks. Because, you know, this has been an issue not just up in these seven counties, but throughout the Upper Peninsula and Northern Lower. So I've had a lot of good support on that, and I'm the vice chair of regulatory reform, so we're going to have this come before a committee and get this discussed, too, because this would be another no-brainer. I like that term, Rick. You know, I mean, in the UP, this stuff makes sense to us, so we explain it very well to try to get it done down there.
Well, I have to imagine you get a number of cross-eyed looks when you first bring up about selling, you know, gasoline at bars, because you usually don't, you know that the person might think, oh, I'll stop filling, go grab one on the way out, and then head. But no, it's because in a smaller town, so anything I like about Phoenix and Mohawk and these, small communities, they may have just like, the one general store, and then their local watering hole there is really a focal point for the little village and for all of the tourists that come through there, the snowmobilers. So it's actually a logical spot, because you already have a congregation of people that meet there to be able to fill up while you're there.
Right. It's just, for us, it's just, we got so many wonderful small businesses up here in our area that, they go above and beyond to try to provide service to our community. And, a lot of times gas is one of them that a lot of people, I know I'm a small business guy too, and it's just, there's not a lot of money into it. It's not. So, a lot of times we're really trying to provide some service out there, and this is one of the things. So I'm looking forward to getting this moving.
I got to admit, I have never, ever heard of powdered alcohol.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that have not heard about powdered alcohol, but there's a lot of states that have had problems also with it. And this was something that was very important to me because, when I look around the state, we do have a lot of problems with underage drinking, and we have a lot of problems with domestic violence, sexual assault. And I think that this is something that goes kind of hand in hand with this. House Bill 4415 bans powdered alcohol in the state of Michigan. And I partnered up with a friend of ours down there, Senator Rick Jones, who is a former sheriff of Ingham County, and he also sees what happens with this stuff with powdered alcohol being on the market. You know, being able to drop this stuff into water and have it change into alcohol is it's kind of scary to me to see that, you know, a package the size of a tea bag could be used to spike someone's drink. This gets in the hands of the kids. You know, they're not rolling around out there trying to, you know, have somebody buy them alcohol in a beer form or wine. You know, this is stuff that could be sneaked around and you wouldn't have any awareness of what's going on with it. So, I mean, this is something that it's marketed in the fact that it's in a very small package. It has the same effect as normal alcohol, but it's being marketed by, like, the names Lemon Drop or Puerto Rica. It's just stuff that it's attracting the young people and kids to be able to. I just think that it's something that's very terrible out there, and I think that we don't need to have any more evilness in the state.
Okay. So you've got a proposal to ban that. Where's that stand right now?
Where it stands right now is we had 48 people along with myself and both sides of the aisle for Democrats and Republicans to be able to co-sponsor this piece of legislation. And we're going to move this legislation when we get back after this in-district time.
Okay. Over at the Eagle Mine location, just where are we with this County Road 595? Are we going to get a road soon?
Well, we're definitely working hard on this issue because I'll tell you what, this is something that affects the way that we are operating in the UP. And I think that a lot of people out there, this has been front and center for many years now that the Eagle Mine has been placed up there and they're currently working, but we see where they're traveling. If we've been through Marquette County lately, I mean, we see the trucks on the roads and they're doing a lot more distance than they really have to. And, you know, this comes down to the fact that we look at the state's rights to be able to issue a permit through the DEQ, to be able to put a road system in. And this goes the same that if we were looking at any type of expansion with a driveway. You know, these are the things that, you know, we really got to get right because it's a need. And if we're going to move forward in the UP on a lot of these projects, we're going to have infrastructure. And I guess one thing that people are going to have to start realizing up here that I don't think that we should have to ask a lot of times for permission to go to work. And I think these are the things that are starting to really get people thinking about what's happening. And part of this with the County Road 595 is the fact that, you know, it is a state's issue and that we have to start talking about these things to be able to get these things started and completed. So that's why I did the House Resolution number 1 for County Road 595 to encourage my colleagues to understand in Lower Michigan that, you know, we are open for business. We all want to work. And that we need the support of the state when it comes to these projects. And that county road, not just for the fact of the mining. You know, we're looking at, you know, if that area up there has property and there's a lot of timber on there that we want to be able to manage it correctly. And I think the thing is, too, for long term, we look at what could that bring into the area also by having that road up there. I look at, you know, people that would like to build a new house out in that area, you know, just tax base, putting people to work. So I think that that's, you know, a lot of our issues in the state a lot of times are the fact that, you know, we are boggled down a lot of times with a lot of regulation. And a lot of it to us in the UP doesn't really make a lot of sense how we got to fight this. So I guess that's something that, you know, either we're going to start doing these things or we're going to put a big rope around the UP and this is going to be just a giant natural history museum. You know, and I just came today. I was up in Ontonagon talking to the seniors at the high school. And, you know, I look at a lot of these younger people and I think, well, how am I going to be able to make an impact to have these kids stay here? And we got to have projects and we got to have jobs and we got to move forward. We got to respect, you know, the environment. We got to be able to provide a good living around here with not just economics, but a good quality of life. But we got to have that balance. And I think that this shows where we're trying to go, to create an atmosphere that we're going to be able to keep the youth here and have jobs for them. I mean, that's on my mind just as much as legislation every day. How can we get people working? How are we going to keep the kids here? How are we going to keep things open? And that's part of it. I think that's really a lot of things that we discuss and I try to educate my colleagues on, is that we are up here and it's we do all have to eat and we all have to work and have a job and have a future. So just trying to make sure people get it.
State Representative Scott Nyanda from Calumet, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. And I hope everybody has a wonderful spring and that we start seeing some 50-degree temperatures.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.